The Football Show on Off the Ball.
With Sky. Watch big games from the Women's Super League live on Sky Sports.
I'm prepared to do anything I can
well,
to play my country again.
Do it then.
What about your start to the game?
It wasn't bad, was it?
Why should an honest answer be a mistake?
How can a modern day manager not have a mobile phone?
Why should he?
Yes, welcome along to the Football Show. Joe Malloy with you this evening. Very happy to say Nathan Murphy is along for the ride. Hello.
Joe.
And Nathan, we said to ourselves, if we're going to do this, me and you, who do we want to come in with us? Who do we want to bring in from the cold?
Lord.
What footballing intellect do we need to really elevate this to another level? And look, it's one of those days, a lot of people are very busy, but Stewie Byrne, you weren't. Hello.
Hey, Joe, thanks for that. Yeah, I actually am busy. I'm still in the office, as you can see. I like that intellect. I can get used to it.
Stewie deserves his chance, Joe. Stewie has soldiered through the last 15 months of empty Aviva stadiums. Of
crap.
Few tears at the penalty shootout against Slovakia when Ronaldo did his thing in injury time. A few tears through all that. Now, when things are finally going well, we get to see the other side of Stewie Byrne. The lovable, the happy Stewie Byrne.
There's no anger.
Don't forget, Joe.
No anger tonight, Stewie.
I had to watch Oman. That's how bad it got.
Well, Luxembourg 0, Ireland 3, Nathan. This British style of football is working out quite well.
Hey, yeah. Route 1 stuff, eh? Route 1 stuff. It's Jason Knight down to a T, isn't it? Yeah, that was a strange old rivalry it's turned into, isn't it? Kind of hope that Ireland end up getting Luxembourg in 18 months' time when the Euro qualifiers start, because it's clearly a little bit of a spark going to be there between the two teams. I don't know. Do managers think about this massively? Like, do we get offended that they describe Ireland as a British style of football? What is a British style of football anymore? Because most British teams that I watch play a pretty attractive style of football right now. So maybe we shouldn't take as much offense. Clearly he means a long ball team. Ireland are not a long ball team. They're more of a long ball team than they were a year ago. They're certainly more direct, more effective. Mm. And I think that was a pretty convincing win last night. When you look at Luxembourg and how they performed during this campaign, how other teams have struggled to break them down as well for the first half of games. Ireland created a lot of chances, gave up probably too many chances. It was a bit of a strange first half. It was a bit Wild West, where felt like there was a lot at stake, even though there was nothing at stake, and both teams were playing sort of kamikaze football. Ireland lacked a little bit of control, but always had a sense that they were going to score, always had a sense they were going to get a couple of goals.
Yeah, I do hope we bump into Luke Holtz again, though. He does seem like a lot of fun. We're going to play a clip later on with Ronan and Arthur, who've been going through the post-match reaction. He was unhappy with the behaviour of the Irish staff. He said it was unsporting. I was unhappy with the behaviour of the staff of Ireland. They made a big deal when they were winning. In Ireland last March, when we were winning, they immediately disappeared into the dressing room. We didn't do that. It was not fair play and very disappointing. What is he on about here, Stewie? I mean, come on.
Well, I don't know. Did he say that or his coach? I'm not too sure.
He said that.
Are you trying to claim? Well, you only sing when you're winning, like, you know. But I think this stuff happens all the time, Joe. The bench, Irish bench, might have had a few words with him when the final whistle went, just as a reaction to his comments. But he has to take it on the chin. Like, you know, you can't go great, you can't go moaning to the press, you know, after you've had a bit of a go. And he knows what he's saying when he's talking about, you know, this bringing up British style of football. Like, you know, I don't think he's an idiot. Like, you know, I would imagine he would. He'd be well read on the history of Ireland and so on and so forth, and maybe that's his way of getting a dig in. But if you're going to go down that road, you have to be able to take it as well. If you dish it out, you have to take it. And so he's just got to take it on the chin, really. We were the better team last night, to be honest. I mean, I know you spoke about, or Nathan, you were alluding to the fact that it felt like there was, you know, a lot at stake last night, even though there wasn't. But for me, there kind of was, like, in the sense that the Luxembourg defeat hurt me. Like, you know, that was the one defeat where I thought, oh God, is this where we really are at? Like, you know, and as the Kenny era has evolved and he's been given time, and we started to see the team start to turn it around. This was the game I had my eyes on, like, you know, where it would be the baseline, the marker, where are we at, like, you know. And the fact that we went away from home and we rode our luck a little bit, we had to knuckle down at times, but to come away from it, to finish as strongly as we did and to come away from that game with a 3-0 win tells me, you know, we're in a good place. That's our baseline for me. That's where I think this team should be, and that's where we go from here.
Does the scoreline flatter the Irish performance, Nathan?
I didn't think so. I think Ireland, particularly in that last half an hour, were totally dominant. Eventually, the pressure was just too much and Luxembourg couldn't withstand it anymore. You could look at the chances given up to Luxembourg, and like a miraculous Gavin Bazunu save denies them another brilliant goal. There was the disallowed goal. It seemed a little bit soft for the push and Shane Duffy. So they did create chances, but we are set in our ways when we think about Luxembourg, that they are a Gibraltar, an Andorra, a San Marino, where they're clearly not that anymore. They have players playing in the Champions League. They've been able to grind out results over the last few years. And you're often going to give up chances against teams. Nothing is going to be flawless, but I think 3-0 on what was probably an even enough first hour, where Ireland were slightly the better team and then totally dominated the last half hour, I think 3-0 was probably fair enough. And I'd be with Stewie when you think back to that Luxembourg game. That felt not just like a low ebb, but it felt as though it was a moment that Stephen Kenny would always struggle to recover from. That no matter how many interviews he gave and how much he spoke about young players and debuts and progress and a new Ireland, that almost every question after that had to start with, but Luxembourg, because it's just unacceptable for an Irish team to lose at home to Luxembourg. And when you think there was one win in 16 games, it feels like a real rarity that a manager at international level, after such a slow start, after so many setbacks, so many disappointments, that a manager turns it around. Actually, in the space of four games, from Stephen Kenny really fighting for his job, and an awful lot of people thinking, actually, no matter what he does here, it's over. Being in a position where it's hard to see how the FAI don't offer him a new contract between now and June. It's been a remarkable turnaround. And, you know, I think himself and the staff deserve a huge amount of credit. And also the players who clearly have, you know, bought into this and stuck by him.
Can I come in on that as well, actually, because it's something that's been sort of at the back of my head, like, you know, from the outside looking in over the last 18 months or so, I would have thought that there was a big divide here as to whether pro Stephen and against Stephen, and what's amplified the people that are against it, social media, right? So from the outside looking in, you're thinking, Jesus, this, you know, do they want them? Do they not? I felt I'm blue in the face trying to explain to people what we're trying to do, and I felt it's been I'm exhausted by it, to be quite honest with you. That's why I'm even more happy that we got the result we did against Luxembourg. But when you turn up at the games and you see the crowds, you're kind of realizing it's all just crap out there. Is it just all these, like, you know, who are these people that are being negative, that don't want them in the job? Are they bots? Who are they? You know, so it's, I think it shows you how powerful the likes of social media can be, how it can sway the opinion of people, and how different it is from when you actually go to a game and you experience, you know, even when Ireland weren't doing too well, the crowd were there, they got behind them. To be fair to him, Stephen, as well, he kind of waited for that moment, didn't he, when he felt it was right, and he started to get the players to come out and applaud the crowd, and that to me was a sense of he felt there was a turning point here. He was starting to get the backing of the crowd. And look, maybe he felt he needed to do that as well to convince the FAI that this is an overall package. Everyone is trying to buy into this. But regardless, I think he did really well. A lot, you know, he got a lot of luck to hang in there as long as he did. But to be fair to him, I think he made his own luck as well, and he's turned it around. And you know, we're now in a very positive place going forward, to use that terrible phrase. But like, it's the reality of the game is now you're only as good as your next game. That's the truth of it, you know. And I think they know that as well, you know.
Mm. So if we divide the thoughts on last night's game into two parts, pre-62 minutes when Jason Knight came onto the pitch and post-62 minutes when Jason Knight came onto the pitch, the reason I asked if the result flattered Ireland a touch is I would have said for the first 62 minutes, the whole game really, Ireland were just sloppy on possession. Say in comparison with Thursday night, there was a sloppiness on possession that wasn't there on Thursday night. A touch casual at times. Duffy, who was so brilliant on the ball the other evening, was hitting balls out of play under very little pressure, and they were going long too quickly, and it just wasn't quite working. Now, into the second half, when Luxembourg were getting on top, Kenny makes a brilliant substitution. Like, the midfield two needed help, and he made the right substitution, and Knight more than delivered. I mean, the intelligence of this guy was obvious, and then the technique to match, and the really brilliant runs. And so, you know, I guess the argument against where we flattered Nathan is the quality of the goals that Ireland scored. We're not accustomed to scoring goals like that very often. That is the really exciting thing about where we're hopefully headed.
And the options that they have as well, that suddenly a Jason Knight is able to come in off the bench and make an impact like that. The next step is obviously for him to be able to do it right from the start of the game. And I do wonder, for example, if Cristiano Ronaldo had scored with that last gasp shot the last night, would Ireland have had the same resolve? Because all of those heartbreaks in Slovakia, in Serbia, in Portugal have been followed almost directly by a poor performance and a shock result, that they've taken those confidence blows really to heart. Whereas last night, actually, they went in with a bit of momentum. And while it was really ragged, you're right, and there were so many times in the middle midfield where it was a simple pass. I remember at one stage Callum Robinson trying to slide it through a couple of Luxembourg defenders and just played it straight to one of them under no real pressure at all, that they were trying to force it a bit too much. But also just seemed to know if they kept at it that something would happen. And Knight did make the difference. Adam Ida, again, probably struggled for the last 3-4 months, really since Norwich got promoted to the Premier League, and he hasn't had any game time. Just physically can't seem to hold the ball up in the way that Callum Robinson can. Can't seem to get himself involved in the game. And when suddenly your front three aren't clicking at all and you've only got two players in midfield, and as well as Hendrick and Cullen both did, I think, at times during the game, you just look a little bit light. And I do wonder if that's something Stephen Kenny will look at in March for the friendlies and maybe even into the Nations League, as to whether Ireland can play with two different systems, whether you need to play with three at the back when you're going to have the majority of possession, or you want to have the majority of possession to get an extra man into midfield, or does he actually sacrifice one of the front two to get an extra man into midfield? Because it did feel for a long time last night that Ireland were good enough to control the game, but just didn't have enough bodies in the right areas to control the game.
Yeah. I exclude, by the way, Stewie, Josh Cullen from the accusation of sloppiness. The man doesn't do sloppiness on the ball. He's been pretty much immaculate for a couple of games now, but everybody else, there was a bit of a sloppiness there for some reason.
Yeah, and there could be any number of reasons for that. We spoke about the fact that we felt this game was, I wouldn't say do or die, but it was certainly one that we were chomping at the bit to win. And I had imagined that the Irish team were feeling exactly like that. You know, Stephen Kenny mentioned the fact that the team spoke about the comments of Holtz beforehand. That tells me that there was needle going into the game. This is one they wanted to win. And so therefore might have felt a little bit of pressure away from home. You know, what would happen if we went 1-0 down? You don't underestimate confidence in all this. This is still... And I know people might think, hang on a second, these are international players, these are grown men, they're experienced, they're playing in England, so on and so forth. Don't underestimate how huge confidence can be to a group like this. You know, and that's why we became a different team when we scored. And we became a different team in all the other results, the recent results, when I think back to Andorra, and Azerbaijan and so on and so forth. Like, when we got that goal, we suddenly went and got 2 or 3, and that's why it was so important. Can you remember in all the other games where we had really good chances first 20-30 minutes, we just couldn't put the ball in the back of the net, and then you could see the confidence and the body language of the player starting to wilt and wilt and wilt, and we were just stuck in this rut. We seem to have now overcome that that confidence barrier now. Like, you know, once we go 1-0 up, once we get that goal, there's a weight off our shoulders. We look like a different team. And we're still developing, we're still improving. It's going to be like this for a while. What we need to focus on as a group is that if we don't get the first goal, if it doesn't come in the first half or it doesn't come after 60 minutes or 70 minutes, keep playing, keep persisting the way we want them, the way Stephen wants the team to play, and it will come. And I think that penny is starting to drop now with the team. And therefore, they're less. You can see they're just more confident in themselves. That's my reading. That's what I see. I see a much more confident team now than I saw a year ago.
No, that's a great point, because Nathan, we're as a team for a long time more than in the habit of when we score one, drop back and hand the initiative over. Whereas I agree with Stewie, like the goal changed the game. That's okay. Like there are going to be tough games. This isn't me saying they were sloppy is not some great critique of Stephen Kenny or the team. Like there are going to be nights like that. They're, you know, the players are of a certain level. It's not going to be phenomenal all the time. There are going to be nights that are a bit sloppy, but they stuck to their methods. The change was really positive with Knight coming on. It was a really shrewd move just to shore up that midfield. But further to Stewie's point, Nathan, when they scored, the way they kicked on and actually grew a bit in confidence, grew a bit in composure, felt they could sense the night change had worked. And the two goals, the second and third goals were just brilliant. So, you know, you got to say that's such a positive thing that they're kicking on now, as opposed to retreat and let's hang on to this one goal lead.
Yeah, the opposition is obviously part of that as well. But Luxembourg were there for the taking, and I don't want to say fell apart, but certainly were ragged throughout the game, so there was an opportunity there. But that's what you need to do, and keep the tempo up and keep playing fast, because you invite these teams onto you, they're going to get chances, they're going to create opportunities, they're going to take shots from distance, it'll take a deflection, and suddenly you find yourself in a typical Ireland 1-1 away from home draw, which has sort of been our recent history. But the confidence can't be underestimated. And like, think back to where we were at this time last year in the middle of COVID, and when you trace sort of the journey of the 20 or so games under Stephen Kenny, that sort of June fixture against Andorra, it was played down as to should they've taken on the game. It doesn't really mean anything at all. Yes, it's a win. Finally, it's a win, but it's against Andorra, so we can't take anything from it. We can't trust Troy Parrott as an international striker. But actually, having the players together for the 10 days, 2 weeks, Stephen Kenny finally getting to spend some time with them, for him to understand, maybe more importantly, Stewie, for them to understand him, because I think that was been a huge thing a year ago that, you know, we talked to you, Stewie, or former Dundalk players about what makes Stephen Kenny special, and they struggled to explain it. A year ago, they couldn't spend more than 15 minutes together in a room because of the COVID regulations. And even then, it still didn't prevent them losing player after player after player. That you sense now that they get what he is about, and that his motivational methods are getting through to the players, and that he has full buy-in from them. He has full buy-in from the experienced players. I think he's been very fortunate having Coleman, Duffy, McLean, the three most experienced players, as three really good individuals who weren't going to throw their toys out of the pram in the times they weren't picked in the team. And they've also been there to support the younger players. And like, what confidence it must give you as a Jason Knight to be thrown on as an Ogbena, to, despite playing in League One, in and out of a League One side, Jadosi Ogbena, playing out on the right-hand side, for your manager to say, you know, I trust you in this situation. I actually trust you to start these games. And you can tell that they're buzzing off it, that the players, even though for a lot of them it's not really happening at club level, they're absolutely buzzing and playing above themselves when they pull on the green jersey, which has always been a thing, whether it was Kilbane, Cunningham, Breen playing above themselves when they pulled on a green jersey to a much higher level, or whether it's these lads getting to a level that is better than where they are at their clubs.
Yeah, I think, you know, having played under Stephen, albeit a long time ago, he has that attribute. You want to play for him because he's not a roarer and a shouter. He doesn't point out your faults. He's not negative in his approach. He's quite a positive manager, and his greatest attribute is getting you to play above yourself, and actually getting you to maybe believe in yourself a little bit more. I don't know how he does it now, but it's just his skill. He's quite a quiet individual. Sometimes you can be a little bit confused about what he's asking of you, but ultimately, when you spend time in his company, he gets that message across to you. And we shouldn't, to be fair, I don't think we should underestimate The role of Keith Andrews in this as well. I think he needs to come in for a special mention because I'm sure Keith has had to adapt as a coach as well in to be able to try to get the message that Stephen is trying to communicate. He has to be able to communicate that to the players as well. Keith does. So I think he needs to get a special mention there. But when you consider the be all and end all of this, when you consider the players we have and the level they're playing at, and some of them are struggling to get first team football, I think he's the ideal manager.
Yeah.
To control this group of players. Ideal fit.
You go through the team. It's a credit to him and what he's come through in the last 18 months. Bazunu thrown in. Randolph was given tough news. That wasn't easy. Again, it would have been very tempting to play that conservatively and keep Randolph as the man there. He'd never done anything wrong, but Kenny's recognised the brilliance of Bazunu, and my God, that save last night's outrageous. Coleman is playing brilliantly. Duffy is a man reborn, and I think Stephen Kenny's had a lot to do with that. John Egan has been sensational. James McLean has been so good. He really has been so good, and you've got Enda Stevens there as well. The improvement in Josh Cullen over the last number of months is incredible. Jeff Hendrick also is a man reborn, and the pass he played last night, how good was that? That's a glimpse of a Premier League footballer there, that pass for the second goal. Doherty, he's having such a tough time at club level. You suspect for Doherty, the Irish camp is like his... it re-energises him every couple of months after watching other teams. Ogbene last night talking about being in a knee brace last year, and now here he is. He's a Kenny disciple for life. Callum Robinson. We have not seen these performances from Callum Robinson before. And then Ida's struggling, I think, a touch, but he's a young player, and you suspect Kenny will keep showing faith in him and he'll develop the right way. And that's not to mention a bunch of other players on the bench. So, you throw all that together and you look at the recent performances. It's laughable, the contract conversation at the moment, Nathan. I haven't heard a good point against the contract. You're going back, you're going back well over a year to muscle up some kind of argument. Recent history is what we're talking about here, and look where it's going.
Well, it'd be bizarre to end the contract when the team is on such a run of form and making such progress. There's no real situation in Irish football where that's happened previously. Maybe you could make the case for Brian Kerr, been extremely hard done by. But aside from that, most managers had more or less come to the end of their cycle. And obviously, McCarthy, it just ended because of COVID. But why would you stop this right now? And I can understand some of the criticism, and I think Stephen Kenny probably did himself no favours with particularly the Trapattoni generation, which the way he has spoken about Irish football, and Liam Brady is obviously a real part of that Trapattoni generation, and a lot of those players may be frustrated with the way it was talked down, considering they would feel they were a Thierry Henry and ball away from getting to a World Cup finals and did qualify for a major finals. But I also think maybe they don't realise the damage that era did to Irish football. There was the John Delaney side of it, but there was also the negativity of the football that put thousands upon thousands of people off coming to Irish internationals. And while the results were there, the performances weren't. And I think people are looking at this, as Stewie said, I think fans around the country are watching an awful lot of football, more football than they've ever watched before, whether it's Premier League, League of Ireland, you name it, and they're seeing fast, pacey, aggressive, attacking football. And when they would go to the Aviva Stadium, now that they're allowed back, that's what they want to see. And that's what they are seeing. So I whether they go now or whether they wait till June, I think they have to go now. You can understand Stephen Kenny himself was bullish last month of saying, I want to go and win this Nations League group and guarantee our playoff spot and get Ireland promotion. So maybe he's backed himself into a corner of them giving him the four games in June to go and prove himself, and the contract runs till then, and is he going to jump ship before then for another job? It's highly unlikely. But this isn't like a normal job. If you don't offer him the new contract between now and then, we know what it's like. We know what the frenzy is like. We know what the stories that come out. Suddenly you're going into March and there's pressure. Stephen Kenny still has to prove himself, and that undermines the squad. This is a squad that is still building. It's a squad that's still young and has players who aren't used to this pressure. That's the other thing. Unfortunately, Chidozie Ogbena and Anamida, when they come to the Aviva, it's a world away from what they're used to week in, week out. That actually saying to them, yes, we believe in this manager. We are going to give him these friendlies, the Nations League, and we're going to go into 2023, which is unfortunately 18 months away when the next proper qualifiers start. And we are backing him. That just give him that certainty, give everybody that certainty, because otherwise every few weeks we're going to hear some sort of a story or another name been linked or somebody in the board isn't happy about something that's happened. Just get it done and let everybody move on and concentrate on the football.
Yeah, I think that's right. It already feels like a sideshow at this stage and a non-debate. Stewie, to finish on a really encouraging point, and you can finish on whatever note you want, but again on the goals last night, because I did think in the previous window Callum Robinson scored outrageous goals. Like, I don't know how repeatable some of these goals are. The goals last night, really encouraging. You know, that's there's a template there. There's a familiarity to some of those goals. You saw similar ones at under 21 level under Kenny. Ireland in 12 internationals in 2021, so 12 games this year, have scored 20 goals in 12. Over the previous 3 years, in 27 matches, they scored 2 goals less. So in 12 games this year, they've scored 2 goals more than they scored in the previous 27. I mean, that alone would show you that things are starting to happen.
Yeah, you know, again, I come back to that whole confidence thing. When you know, if you set up your team with a system to play a certain way, to be difficult to score against, and the main focus is on that system, it's very difficult for players who aren't, let's say, in quotes, top players. Okay, it's very difficult to kind of get them to suddenly transition when they win the ball back and play free flowing football. Like, you know, that's a difficult thing to do. So because Stephen is focusing on getting these players to be comfortable on the ball, to make mistakes, you know, when you go, you mentioned the word sloppy against Luxembourg. Okay, I can tolerate sloppiness if you're trying something. Okay, I think everybody can. If you're trying a true ball or you're trying to pass that ball forward and create something, and you know it goes awry, okay, a little bit sloppy, but you can accept it, like, you know. And that's what these players are making, these mistakes now, trying to play a certain way, and you can see game by game it's coming all the time. And the fact that the kind of the final seal on all of this, that we're going in the right direction, the encouragement for me is that when we go 1-0 up, we just look like a different team. We just put, you know, we go up another gear, and that tells me that this is a team that will, you know, tries on confidence, needs to get the first goal first, but that's something that we're going to have to deal with as time goes on as well. What if we don't get the first goal, you know, and we have to develop like that. But we're in a hugely positive place at the moment, and that's all you can ask for, Joe.
Yeah,
that's all you can ask for. It's as simple as that.
Nathan Murphy, what a performance from Stewie Byrne this evening.
Oh, I'll tell you what, positivity from Stewie Byrne. I love to see it. Any jokes, Stewie, to finish off the year?
It's before the watershed.
We're past jokes. That's how far Irish football is.
Well, there you go. You know, think of the days where I had to come up with a, I'd say an Emmy award winning joke, I would have thought. Emmy award winning.
Just to entertain
people. Exactly. I would be. But then I've evolved as a person as well, Nathan, and I know when not to say these things.
Well, on that note, powerful, powerful, Stewie. Stewie Byrne, thank you. Nathan Murphy, thank you.
Thanks, guys. See you.
Off the ball. This is News Talk.
Now, you're very welcome back. Joe Malloy with you this evening. So we'll talk about the Republic of Ireland's 3-0 win in Luxembourg yesterday evening in a moment. Gavin Cooney from the 42 and Philip Quinn from the Irish Daily Mail and Mail on Sunday. First, sense of Stephen Kenny post-match. We'll play you on the football show, by the way. There's a bit of a beef between Stephen Kenny and, well, it's more driven, I think, by Luke Hulse, the Luxembourg manager. So we'll get to that after 9. Nathan Murphy and Stewie Byrne will be with us as well. But just on the pitch last night, Jason Knight's introduction changed the temperature of the game, I think it's fair to say. Stephen Kenny was asked what words he had for Jason Knight as he was about to enter the fray.
Just be brilliant. Just be brilliant. No, I think he was coming on, obviously, two shifts. Obviously, one, he had to, in possession, had to play on the left side of our attack, and out of possession had to sort of get, you know, defensively had to get Mark Martins, their holding midfield player. So we pressed with the front two and had him as our number 10 behind that, out of possession. But in possession, he obviously operated off the left flank, and so he had a tactical sort of. He could take some information on very quickly, like, and I just said, it's one of the advantages of being sort of under 21 manager is that you sort of learn about the character of the players. And Jason has terrific character. He was unfortunate with his injury that held him back a little bit, or considerably, for a while. But he was going to come on early in the Portugal game. We had, you know, considered bringing him on early in the second half of that game. And I know that we had other options and that, but I think he's a terrific little player, Jason. Like, he's buckets of courage, and he's just a breath of fresh air around the place as well.
Yeah, buckets of courage and plenty more besides, composure and intelligence, and what a contribution he made. Very happy to say Gavin Cooney of the 42 is with us, and Philip Quinn from the Irish Daily Mail and Mail on Sunday. Both of you, I would suspect, making the trek home one way or another from Luxembourg. Jason Knight's introduction, Philip Quinn, fairly decisive. That was quite the impact.
It was indeed, Joe, yeah. Just in the door, by the way, from Luxembourg. I'm not sure where Gavin is. I think we were on the same flight. But just in the door, yeah. Interestingly about Jason Knight, do you know how many times he played in the World Cup campaign? Twice. We played two games. And one was against Luxembourg at home, where he didn't have the impact that he would have wanted. He actually accepted that last night. That was the game after we played Serbia away. He came in for the second match, and we lost 1-0 at home. And then he had injury problems. So he wasn't around for September games. But his second impact, I feel like, against Luxembourg was electric, yeah. He came on at the 62nd minute, and then he made the run that led to the first goal, the free kick, 67. He made another run that led to the second goal, 75. Another run in the 88th, the third goal. Like, three assists, what a hat-trick. And I think his role was different as well. Stephen Kenny mentioned there about he was asking him to do two things, but getting forward is something that he hasn't done for Ireland that much before. And we saw it last night, and it paid off big time for Kenny and for Ireland.
Well, the intelligence of his run for the Hendrick ball was there to be seen, and Hendrick's ball was no bad thing either, Gavin. And then the composure for the Robinson goal and the technique, really, really promising.
Yeah, when we talk about Knight, we often talk about his intensity and his work rate, etc., etc. We don't probably hear enough about his technique and that element of his game. But it's definitely there now, isn't it? Like, we saw it with the second, with the the first assist for the second goal, and then a second assist for the third goal. Definitely with Robinson. Like, I have to say, even to see that pass is really, really intelligent on Knight's part. I was listening to Shane Keegan on with you this morning talking about scanning and the fact that Josh Cullen looks up and gets a picture into his head of the pitch every couple of seconds. And evidently, Jason Knight is developing that skill as well.
Mm. For the previous 62 minutes, Philip, curious for your thoughts on the game. Certainly watching on television, with the exception maybe of Josh Cullen, who is almost immaculate on the ball at this stage, there was a certain sloppiness about the Irish performance in possession. Numerous balls kicked out of play, numerous balls given away when really there wasn't huge pressure on the player in possession. Who knows why these things happen? But that would have been the sense, I think, watching from home for the first hour.
Yeah, curiously enough, I didn't get that sense. Now, we were sitting in the press room, we were press boxes, very tight pitched, like Tallaght Stadium. You're right on top of the Irish dugout. And a couple of things struck me. How forceful, for example, Anthony Barry was with his instructions coming up and off the bench regularly to get his message across. But I actually thought the team played reasonably well. There was a certain amount of sloppiness, but there was some lovely movement as well. Mm. The very first moment from the tip-off, Ogbani got the ball and ran at the Luxembourg defence. And I thought he was terrific right through the game. We had two penalty claims. I think one of them was quite genuine. I think Ogbani again was pulled back by a player on the yellow card. And there was a lovely move on the right-hand side involving Doherty, I think Ogbeni and Robinson, which the keeper saved. So it wasn't entirely we weren't on our absolute metal, and we were playing Luxembourg, but I thought we were the better team. And you know, I turned it down McDonald in the press box after we got the free kick in the 67th minute, and I said, this is a free from a perfect position. We weren't taking advantage of our corners, by the way. This is a free from a perfect position for us to score. And we had a little laugh at it, and lo and behold, perfect cross from Cullen and Duffy got the end of it. I actually thought we were on top, Joe. I don't know what it was like watching TV.
No,
certainly being there, we were the better team.
Yeah, certainly the better team, but almost this sense that there was so much more in the team and that they had been a bit sharper in possession against Portugal, for instance. And by the way, the Ogbani taking on the team from tip-off move, happened against Portugal as well. I hope this is now a thing that we just give the ball to Agbani and he has a crack just for the hell of it from tip-off. That would be fun. Gav, what was your sense of the Irish performance before the night substitution?
I think it was a bit nervy. And Stephen Kenny did say after the game that this was a pressure game just because, you know, to lose once to Luxembourg is careless, to lose twice is et cetera, et cetera. You can fill in your own adjective there. So I thought it was nervy. They started pretty well when Luxembourg gave them some space for Agbene to run into behind them. But I think one of their lumbering centre-halves took his booking to hold Agbene down after only 7 minutes. And then when they sat off and soaked up pressure, I thought Ireland kind of struggled to pick them apart. And then Ireland got a reprieve early in the second half with the disallowed goal. And then they just lost their way. Things really did get sloppy. I remember Seamus Coleman pass or miscontrolling the ball out of play. Was it Duffy played a really poor pass that Gerson Rodriguez should have done much better than clipped the ball delicately at Gavin Bazunu to gather gratefully. So Ireland did lose their way, particularly in that second early stage of the second half. And just one abiding concern about Ireland is how they perform if they don't get an early goal or if they don't go in front early on. Because you can see, once they get that first goal, it's transformative. We saw it, maybe to a lesser extent away to Azerbaijan, but we saw it against Qatar and we definitely saw it yesterday. As soon as they got the first goal, you know, the champagne was flowing and some of the football that Ireland played was fantastic. But just, yeah, I felt they were a little bit nervy, especially when they didn't get that goal in the opening maybe 10 or 15 minutes of the first half.
Yeah, well, look, I'm accentuating a negative here and in total agreement, once they scored, and they had been the better side for most of the game, maybe Luxembourg had a spell after the start of the second half, but once they scored, the way they kicked on is so impressive. And Philip, that's not something we've said about Irish teams when they've got the first goal for quite some time, whereas you could see the confidence upped, touch of reassurance that they had a lead, and then the quality of those two goals. I mean, we've talked about Knight's part in them, but just team goals was really outstanding. And this is kind of what you're hoping Stephen Kenny was working towards.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, I have been critical of the team. I've been critical of the performances and of the results. And I said to Kenny on the eve of the game when he was accentuating about, you know, one defeat in nine games, and I said it's about time he had a second competitive win. And he didn't really warm to that, probably that question, and he kind of thought that, you know, what happened before March, he said, I don't want to go there. And, you know, you can't write off what happened before March. We had eight internationals last year, a Euro playoff, Six Nations League games, and we weren't the only country to have COVID, so you just can't ignore that. And it was a poor end, the first 3 months were poor, but there has been a progress. I don't know whether you want to say before March or after March, but there's no doubt Ireland are in better shape. Anthony Barry's made a big impression, and I think he shouldn't be underestimated. But it was good, Joe. It was good after the first goal. I think Luxembourg's their spirits sank. Just one other thing, and I'm not trying to be critical because we have finished with two wins and three draws in five competitive matches, and they're the yardstick that I would use. I don't really think the friendlies are that relevant against small teams. But our two competitive wins have been against Azerbaijan and Luxembourg, and they're away from home. They're not the best teams in Europe, and those results are not going to sort of reverberate around the top nations in Europe, and it's not like Ireland are back. But we have something behind us that we didn't have before. We've ended the year with a bit of momentum, a little bit of belief, and I think that's positive for Kenny and for the Irish players, and that's why I think he's going to get a new contract extension before the friendlies in March.
And so, has he won you round as well? You'd be of the opinion that that's the right thing to do, and you can see real promise in what he's doing, or do you still have significant criticisms or reservations?
Well, I've been professional as best as I can. I judge the team as I see it. I judge what I hear from around the squad and things like that. And I look at the results, and make professional calls on that. I do think what Kenny doesn't want is he doesn't want a distraction at the Nations League, you know, are you due a new contract? He doesn't want a distraction before the March friendlies. Are you going to get a new contract? And I think what we saw September to a certain degree, not so much October, but certainly in this camp, is that we are going the right way. We have a long, long way to go. The players are behind Kenny. That's a plus. The supporters are certainly behind Kenny, and they were terrific. And I spoke to a lot of them in the airport now today, and there is a sense that they want this guy to continue. And the FAI aren't any fools either. They would buy into the public vibe. I think actually, the fact last night that Jonathan Hill was sitting, you know, pretty close to the technical area, right on top of the pitch, and he did tweet that he said how much he was enjoying this. So I think it's an easier decision for the FAI. Carry on, Stephen. But yeah, he has to deliver in the European Championship 2024, and that must be the remit. He can't he can't not do that.
And let me put it this way then. If you were on the FAI board and you were turned to for your thoughts, contract, yes or no?
I would say after what I've seen in these three windows, particularly in the last one, November, the last one's just passed, and two clean sheets and two performances, I would say, yeah, I think he has done enough to deserve an extension. And, I wouldn't argue against that, whereas I would have questioned it before, certainly September and October. But the second half of the season has been well. If the results had been flipped around, Joe, and we started the campaign well and finished it poorly, I wouldn't have maybe said what I've just said. But it seems to be going the right way. And I think he deserves the chance to build. But he has to build. This is only a very small building block that's in place, and he has to carry on the good work that we've seen, certainly in this window. So, yeah, I can see the FBI doing this, giving him a new contract. There's some suggestion that they might give him a short-term contract. I would say give him a contract to cover the entire Nations League campaign and the Euro 2024s. With a remit, you've got to get us there.
Yeah. Gav, thoughts on all this?
Yeah, Fantasy FAI Board is the game that I've been waiting to play for a very long time.
Do you want
time,
to be treasurer? So. How many bank accounts do we have?
26, isn't it? it's definitely more than one, at least, which actually maybe might have overqualified me under previous times. I think, like, I honestly think they'd be absolutely mad not to renew the contract and give them the year 2024. Because, like, who else are they going to get? Like, there's no one better out there that's going to take the job on the money that they now pay. Like, this isn't back in the days of Trapp and O'Neill, when this was one of the most high-paid managerial jobs in Europe, with strangely low expectations beyond getting turned the team out for qualifiers for 10 games a year. And there's clear signs of progress. I mean, the most obvious measure of progress is the fact that Ireland have improved the results against all of their opponents when they met them for a second time. I mean, they've not gone backwards in that at all. We're scoring goals, which we haven't done for years, and we're scoring the types of goals we've almost never scored before. The players all are very happy. So it's barely even a decision at this point, surely. Like, just not to go all Rio. Not to go all Rio Ferdinand, but, like, get it signed.
Yeah. Just on that, Gavin, there are plenty of people out there, by the way. I'm not going to mention names, but there are a lot of people out there who will jump at the Irish job, and good people as well, well-qualified candidates. But the job is not available. Stephen Kenny is under contract on the 1st of July of next year. I think what he's done September, October, and certainly in the last window that's just finished, has shown that he deserves a chance to continue on.
And I just think, like, the nature of the game last night is probably there's no greater validation for what he's been doing over the last 2 years in blooding 12 young players, and for a 20-year-old and Jason Knight who Kenny gave him his debut to come off the bench and change the game.
Yeah, I think Knight's been really good. He's only played two matches, as I said. And I went through the whole stack there, went to the airport, and, you know, I think Gavin Bazuna has an extraordinary year. To throw a guy in at 19 years of age, trust a fellow like that to keep goal, I think that's been one of Kenny's good. One of Kenny's coups. And I would also give great credit to Chidozie Ogbeni. I think he's been a breath of fresh air, to the extent now that Aaron Connolly is probably not getting mentioned in dispatches, which he would have done at the start of the campaign, or even in September. You would have thought it was unheard of that we could actually have an attack without Aaron Connolly in it. But we've got Ogbeni up there. There's still some things that need to be improved upon, but I think the pressing game, again, I had a conversation with Daniel McDonald last night, and, you know, you're right, he made a valid point. If you press in the right areas, you can get free kicks from the opposition, and then that can lead to set pieces. Now, and I'm nothing against scoring from a set piece, and we tend to do that quite a lot with Jay Duffy. We still play a little bit of tippy-tappy around the back that may need to be looked at. But look, let's not forget, I mean, you're right, Gavin, it was a good performance last night at the final 25 minutes, champagne football, where have you heard that before? but it was Luxembourg away, you know. We did improve it right against Portugal and Serbia second time around, but we need to get a little bit better, because at the moment, there's 22 teams, 10 group winners are going to the World Cup, 12 are involved in the playoffs. That's 22 teams. We're not in that 22. You know, we have a long way to go yet. We've started on the journey. We've just started to take a few steps going uphill after going down quite a long way. And let's see how far Kevin can take us. But yeah, I would agree, he does deserve that chance.
Mm. Do we have any sense, Gav, of when this decision is going to be made? Because to be having the same conversation into next March and beyond just feels like an unnecessary distraction now to the Kenny regime. If the FAI are going to back him, I don't really think they need the evidence of March and beyond at this stage.
Yeah, I don't know what you'll really prove in two friendlies in Dublin in March, and then in the four games in June, or the first four games of a six-game Nations League campaign, and the last two games are currently not falling under the contract that he has. So I mean, we'll go by what's on the record at the moment. What's on the record is that it will be assessed at the end of this World Cup campaign. So the World Cup campaign is now over. There'll be a monthly board meeting for the FAI at some point later this month. So presumably that'll be where it happens, unless I know there is some opinion out there that the FAI should wait and give it more time. But like you say, I what more can be proved really in friendly games? And then is that actually gonna, is that like a net negative for the team to have this hanging over them and having that level of uncertainty? So I like, they're on the record as saying that the current plan is to assess it in November. So unless things change between here and then.
Yeah. I mean, you go through the team and you look at the number of players that Kenny is getting really good performances from, and it's almost universal. You take the starting 11 last night. So Coleman is playing outstandingly well and is clearly right behind the manager. Duffy is man reborn. John Egan, outstanding. Mm-hmm. Doherty, I mean, he must just love every international window that comes up right now. Hendrick, again, is back to where we knew he could get to. Josh Cullen, like, exceptionally good and is just getting better by the game. James McLean, I think, has surprised everyone. Ogbene, Robinson. Adam Eda maybe is the only one that's a touch disappointing at the moment. He hasn't kicked on from the Algarve. And, of course, that is not to mention Bazunu. This guy's off the charts, Gav.
He's amazing. Like, I mean, it is plausible that he becomes Ireland's record caps holder and Caoimhín Kelleher becomes the most unfortunate man ever involved in Irish football. He's astonishing, really. Like, that save that he made from Olivier Till last night was genuinely one of the best saves I've ever seen, certainly live in a stadium. And I'm struggling to think of many that I've seen better on TV. And it was interesting talking to RTE about it after the game. He said he was lucky that the deflection on the shot shot happened so soon. I was like, if that's what Gavin Bazunu judges by an early deflection, only proves that he's among these elite sports people who perceive time completely differently to the rest of us. You know, it's all, everything is far slowed down for him when he's in the zone. He's so commanding and he's so dominant. And one thing that hasn't really been remarked on in his performance this month that I find quite encouraging is the fact that, you know, he made a couple of quite high-profile individual errors for Portsmouth in League One in the weeks leading up to this window. But it evidently hasn't affected him one iota. He's just so dominant and so composed in goal. And he's only 19. It is remarkable.
Yeah. JR made the point on our morning show here, Philip, that Bazunu could well play for the next 20 years for Ireland.
Yeah, what Gavin said there, and I just made a reference to it myself on Peace for Tomorrow. Yeah, he could go on and eclipse Shea Given. You know, he's played 10 games this year. And, you know, when he came in initially, people were a little bit uncertain, a bit of a risk, a bit of a gamble. But he came in after Travers didn't do particularly well at Serbia. By the way, we're well served by goalkeepers. Travers has kicked on during the summer, got into the Bournemouth first team, and they're flying. And Caoimhín Kelleher, by all reports around Liverpool, they wouldn't let him go because he's number two at Alisson. So we are well served in goalkeepers, which we have been, by the way, for the last 30 years. But Bazunu could certainly play 100 times, and there's no reason why he can't. Just you went through the players there, Joe. It was interesting, and I was just making a few little notes here. Our marathon man this year, fellow who played all games in the World Cup, or played in 8 World Cup games, star of them all, was Josh Cullen.
Yeah, brilliant.
And, you know, quiet man, tidy in personality, tidy in manner, very clipped in his words, doesn't give much away, like that on the ball. He played in 11 of the 12 games this year, played in all the World Cup matches. And McLean, well, you know, he's been written off, he's come back. He didn't start every match, but he played every game. I have a lot of time for McLean, I always have. He's just short of 90 caps now, he's on 88. You know what? He'll burst a gut to get to that 100. Don't rule him out, keep him going. One other thing, Seamus Coleman, Kenny dropped him at the very start of his campaign. And people kind of overlooked that as well, and it was a mistake. But he had the sense to bring him back in, not just for his playing ability, but for his leadership. And I'll give Kenny credit for that, because he realised he had made an error. Coleman's just turned 33, and I asked him, was he going to keep going type thing? You know, it's one of those questions you ask come to the end of the campaign, and some players put their club future ahead of Ireland, ahead of their country. But Coleman will always put his country first. But I hope he keeps going, because, and you know, that position that, again, Kenny has found for him, right of three, it means he can play 2 games in 5 days or 4 days. He couldn't play that at wing-back. He couldn't play that at right full-back, because he'd just be too exhausted and he's hamstring-prone. But he can play right of three at the back. That's a position that has been found for him. I think Anthony Barry might have something to do with that as well. But Doherty as well, another one about him, he didn't get much of a run in previous managers, and I watched him. He's not getting much run for Spurs this year, but to see him galloping up and down the right flank, you know, and he was heroic during the whole season. But I'm not saying we're you know, world beaters. I think even Gavin would agree with that. We're not world beaters. We've beaten Luxembourg away. We've beaten Azerbaijan away. We need to take out some top teams. And let's see who we get in March for friendlies. The Nations League draw December 16th. We're against teams of our level, that team that are ranked 17 to 31 in Europe.
Yeah.
We'll see who we're going to get. There'll be stronger teams than Azerbaijan and Luxembourg. Next test.
Okay, fellas, we're out of time. Philip Quinn, Gav Cooney, thanks so much. Appreciate it. And our football coverage on Off the Ball is brought to you by Sky, all the football you love in one place across Sky Sports, BT Sport, and Premier Sports.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Sky, all the football you love in one place across Sky Sports, BT Sport, and Premier Sports.
It's twice as hot in the kitchen with Hotpoint at Experts Electrical. The new Hotpoint Amelia double oven cooker is the only cooker with two full fan ovens. Perfect when the whole gang's around. With six cooking levels, enjoy endless possibilities and perfect results. Get more cooking power with Hotpoint at Experts Electrical stores nationwide and expert.ie.
When it comes to vans, the Peugeot partner ticks a lot of boxes, and with up to 1,000 kg payload, it carries them too. Choose from two body lengths, one or two sliding side doors, up to three seats, five levels of spec, and safety features like a full steel bulkhead. With Peugeot's unique iCockpit interior and hands-free Bluetooth, the award-winning Peugeot partner is your perfect business partner. For flexible payment options and to book a test drive, visit Peugeot.ie.
Black Friday can be a real letdown. That's why Virgin Media's turning it red. Now's your chance to get unlimited data, calls and texts, all for just €10 a month for 12 months. Shop the Red Friday sale at virginmobile.ie or go in-store today. Bring on amazing.
SIM only contract €25 a month after offer. For details, terms and conditions and acceptable usage policy, see virginmobile.ie. Ends 29th of the 11th, 21.
Christmas, a time to remember at St. Francis Hospice. Cherish the life of your loved one by sponsoring a light on the hospice Christmas tree. Just call 01 832 7535 or visit our virtual Christmas tree online at sfh.ie. That's sfh.ie. Thank you.
The Institute of Education is enrolling for intensive Christmas revision courses for first to sixth year students. Classes will be delivered by exceptional teachers at our Leeson Street, Dublin campus and online. Students will receive recordings of classes and the Institute's legendary class notes. Book by November 30th to buy one, get one free. See instituteofeducation.ie.
Looking for new ways to reward your staff and customers this Christmas? Then surprise them with a Lidl corporate gift card. Use on everyday essentials, middle aisle specials and treats from our Christmas deluxe range. Plus, if you spend over €1,000 before October 30th, you'll get a discount on your cards. Contact our corporate gift team at lidl.ie/corporate gift cards.
Need IT hardware for staff at home or in the office?